children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks, weekly radio show on family matters. Masks, mothers and fathers align saving kids. Kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including in-school issues, addictions of all sorts, whether it's molestation, drug misuse, alcohol, whatever the addiction may be, please call MASS for a referral so that we can help your loved one, your family member. And our number is 718-758-0400. If you know someone that needs a referral or an inpatient, outpatient rehab, or even a school, please call us. We will get you to a yeshiva liaison. Again, I will repeat the number, maybe for yourself, your neighbor, someone you sit next to, usually in shul. Our number, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm very, very, very happy to have with us and honored Dr. Stoifer. Dr. Lydia Stoifer is a language pathologist with over 45 years of experience in clinical and private practice, as well as university teaching. Dr. Stoifer was the founder and director of the Stoifer Center for Learning and Child Development, which was the first multidisciplinary private diagnostic and remedial setting established in Westchester County. Dr. Stoifer continues to provide educational consultation and advocacy services to families on behalf of their children in coordination with other professionals and schools. Dr. Stoifer designed a variety of school settings to empower teachers and invigorate learners of all kinds. Dr. Stoifer focuses on guiding all educational professionals to answer the essential question, who is this child? And I'd like to welcome you tonight, Dr. Lydia Stoifer, for making the time and coming on our show. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Ruchama. Good evening to you and to all of you who are eagerly listening and open to learning and who will have access to all that MASK has to offer.
Thank you. And Dr. Stoifer, just to let you know, I was sitting with my neighbor over the weekend. We live on the same floor. We're in a bubble. And I said, I'm doing a program. And she was like, oh, my gosh, I love Dr. Stoifer. I was trained by her. So regards from Julie from MDS. Says hello. Yes.
Thank you. So, that's wonderful to hear.
Yes. So let's talk about red flags and warning signs, which a learning disability could be lurking. I mean, parents need to be well-informed and knowledgeable about what's going on when children are at a very young age. And I just do want to bring up also that you always say invisible conditions manifest as behavioral issues. So let's get right to it. I want to know, other than being sure that your child's happy, healthy, you know, at least a good portion of the time, what are other important developmental issues for which a parent should be alert?
One of the things that we think parents take for granted, some of the time, if the baby or toddler eats well, is happy and cheerful, and you can anticipate his or her needs, parents tend not to be as focused on the child's language and social development. The motor is very easy. Look, he's pulling to stand. Oh, look, he's crawling. Look at that kiddo go. He's walking already. But what we know is that for school learning and for success in the world, what you want to have is good language and social skills issues, because a child's early language development is actually the foundation for most of what goes on in terms of learning in school. So we want parents, and when I train pediatricians, I emphasize to them as well, monitor the language and communication development.
So what do you mean when you say language? I mean, when the children are very little, we talk baby talk to them, most mothers and fathers and kids. You know, we use the words that the kid, the baby may be, you know, naming something with an odd way of using that word, and then we end up using it as they get older. So what do you mean by language?
I think most of the time when people hear the word language, they think English or Hebrew or French or Spanish. But each of those languages has a rule system that's made up of what do we intend to communicate? What words are we going to use? And how do we put them in order so that our message is delivered? And what sounds are we using in that language? In English, there are certain vowels and consonants. In French, they're pronounced differently. What intonation patterns do we use? I can watch a child and teach parents to watch a child to see if maybe there's a hearing loss because of the way the child is or is not talking. So for me, what I want parents to understand is language is the skill that you develop to communicate your ideas, your feelings, your beliefs, your wants, your needs, and similarly, how well you understand what is being communicated to you. We take for granted how much babies understand. We think they don't understand, but they understand a great deal more than they say. So what you mentioned is extremely important, talking to them from early on. That's how they learn the sound of a question. That's how they learn the sound of curiosity. That's how they learn the sound of, don't you think of doing that again, little one? You know, kids respond to, even though that's nothing more on the surface than a sound, it's communicating an idea and a message. So language, at least the oral part, what you say and what you hear, is all about communicating and understanding your wants, your needs, your beliefs, your intentions, much more complex than people understand. And you can do that in Hebrew. You can do it in English. You can do it in French. God bless all of those who are multilingual.
Absolutely. Is it confusing for a little baby with multilingual, actually, with a little child before school? I'm talking about very young. One parent speaks Hebrew, one parent speaks English. You know, is that confusing now that you bring up the multilingual issue?
Actually, it's not. It's beneficial for little children. It's so much harder to learn a language as you get older than it is if you're exposed to it from early on. And if one parent consistently speaks in one language and the other consistently speaks in the other to the child, Hebrew or English, but speaks back and forth both, the children develop the ability to recognize the sound patterns, the grammar patterns, the way words are used for different purposes. They don't talk very early because their little muscles can't make all these little tiny movements. But what we are doing is filling their little brains with information. Children who have the ability to learn language, I know children who have learned 3 languages simultaneously, and it can be a riot to listen to them mix the languages. So no, it is not if a child not a problem. If a child is learning effectively, he or she can learn 2 and sometimes even 3 languages at once. There's no question that there's no harm in being exposed to 2 languages. You just have to make sure the language being used is rich, not just commands, not just teasing and tickling, but rich and varied language to expose the youngsters to.
Wow. Let's talk about the importance of play, because, you know, once the children do go into school and may have some issues, there is the availability of play therapy. Why is play therapy or playing so important in general?
You know, I think what people have to appreciate or stop for a moment and think about, for little kids, play is not a recreational activity. It's not like going to play golf. It's not a leisure time activity, you know, to go and play tennis. It's not an escape activity. That's for grown-ups who are working hard. For little kids, play is thinking time and language time and problem-solving time. How am I going to get this magnetile tower to go a little higher? Do I need to move more to the base? It's memory time and planning time. It's when a youngster uses his or her mind and body and language and social skills, all of his powers. Play is learning time for little kids, and it has huge emotional benefits. It helps you vent feelings of anger. Oh, you get annoyed. You can hug the teddy bear. Play is filled with useful skills to gain control over unpleasant feelings, to figure out problems. Play therapy for little kids can be enormously important because they can act out their experiences and learn to cope. Play for little kids is not the same as play for Abba and Ima, who are exhausted from a week in the office. Well, we used to be in the office anyway. And so play is hugely important for kids. And kids' language is so, so rich during play. Because they're not being asked questions. The worst way to get a kid to talk to you is to ask questions, especially ones that you already know the answer to, like the one I hear all too often. So what color is your Play-Doh? No, the kid knows you can see it. So you want to play with them and talk about what you're doing and what they're doing. I promise you all, they'll talk to you more if you don't ask questions and just make comments. But play with and don't direct. It's enriching for them to play. I know that's long-winded, but play is so important, Luchama. So important.
Right.
That's the same.
So, you know, on our helpline at MASC, the last, I would say, 3-4 years, we have been getting so many calls about socialization issues with elementary age kids, young adults. What aspects of socialization should parents be watching from an early age?
We underestimate the importance of socialization skills, and part of what you want to be aware of is not excusing away shyness. Kids are indeed shy. But the issue of socialization skills is knowing how to start a conversation, knowing how to join one. I watch kids do it all the time in classrooms and in the early grades and certainly in the middle schools. But they do it, too, in the early years where they start talking. They take turns. They ask questions. They come over and say, hello. hello, I'm coming to play with you, or, hey, what are you doing later? I'm going to go and study. You want to walk over with me? Those kinds of overtures, if you don't know how to use language with children, with other kids, and talk the talk, you know, as an adult, we have so much variety. But think about how you talk to different people in different situations. So, for instance, I train teachers. I'm shocked to see that some of them are young enough to be my grandchildren, and they would never think of calling me Lydia. Socially, they address me with deference as Dr. Soifer. But I can't begin to imagine my best friend from childhood, with whom I grew up in Brooklyn, calling me anything else but Lyd, which is my family nickname. So if a kid walks over to a group of children and says, hello, I am in your class. I'm new from a different school. I would like to play with you. The kid's going to look at him like, okay, what's his deal? As opposed to if he walks over and says, hey, can I join you? I'm going to hang with you, okay? What are you doing? Knowing how to use language to be conversational, to introduce to yourself, to go back and forth, to pick the right topics. Those skills develop remarkably early. And when you don't have them, it can be hard to make friends. So you want to watch for early language development, early play skills, which, by the way, Ruchama, are measurable. There are standards for the ages at which children have certain play skills, and similarly so for socialization, for interaction and conversation. I'm always of the school, better safe than sorry, because the pediatricians know that they better not find out, I better not find out that they ever told somebody, oh, don't worry, he'll outgrow it, without telling the mommy and the daddy what it is that will be outgrown and when. Better to intervene early. And so you'll waste more time and more money on more frivolous things. But language play, socialization, crucial for little ones.
Right. That's so like for when do children begin to learn to read, and what role actually does the language play in learning to read and in their reading comprehension?
Oh, thank you so much, Ruchama, for asking that question. It's a very, very important one. Learning to read in little children, everybody can have a chuckle and say, what? Begins the minute they are born, when they are welcomed into our world. Because the truth is that you learn to read with your ears, not with your eyes. Those little ears collect the sounds of the language, and those sounds later on get translated into letters, and then the letters become words. And then understanding what you hear later becomes understanding what you read. Similarly, being able to say what you mean becomes writing what you intend your teacher, your mother, your bubba to understand. So learning to read starts way, way, way before it is formally taught. I can walk into any nursery school classroom and spot which little one is likely to have trouble learning to read, but just by watching the three-year-olds, because one of the developmentally crucial skills is learning to rhyme. And when I see little ones who can't rhyme, I give the teacher activities, and I've just given them to one of my dear friends because her granddaughter is not doing what I want her to be able to do. So they're making games at home. So children begin the process of learning to read remarkably early and way before they are formally taught. It's crucial that people understand that. That's why talking to them is important. They're starting to learn to read.
Right. When should a parent begin to be concerned? I mean, like, what are some of those early signs of learning disabilities?
It's very, again, very important that people not poo-poo. And part of what we know is there are very clear predictors of being able to read when you get school age that children recognize patterns of print. I'll give you an example, and it doesn't have to be words. My dear friend's son, who is now the father of two children, when he and we pushed him around in the carriage, Michael would point at cars and go, Toyota, Volvo, Mercedes, because he recognized the symbol on the front of the car. He was developing concepts about print, that symbol stood for something. The other one that we look for very much is what is called phonological or sound awareness, being able to play with sound and to most particularly to rhyme and to play with sounds. Those are important early skills. There are long lists of what we want to watch for in the youngest ones, because when you don't master these early skills, like missing classroom instructions, like talking less than others, and maybe more simply, not as complex our productions of sentences. Difficulty understanding, which you just expect them to understand. Maybe not having as big a vocabulary, and certainly that speech is not clear. You want to watch for how play is developing and how coloring and writing skills are developing, because all of those skills that look like, oh, yeah, I remember I used to do that, are actually the foundations of learning to be a reader and a writer and a successful student. We can intervene very, very early on, and it's important that we do so, because there's less to have to teach, less to have to remediate than when you have a second or third or fourth grader who then starts to feel bad about him or herself because schoolwork is harder than he or she sees it for all of the kids around. So you want to make sure that those kids feel successful. School is their job, and they want to be as successful at their job as they are in life. So it's very important to get them early, and we know so much that we can spot from the outset.
Well, Dr. Soifer, it's wonderful having you on. I want to announce that this coming Sunday, November 8th, we are having on Dr. Lydia Soifer. She will be doing a Zoom presentation, 8 p.m., and if anybody wants to get that Zoom information, feel free to call Mac at 718-758-0400, and it is going to be for parents to learn, understand, recognize red flags, how to help the struggling child, understanding the learning disabilities and how they're defined. So if you want to learn about it, please call MASC 718-758-0400. I want to thank you, Dr. Soifer. We're so looking forward to Sunday night's 8 p.m. presentation on red flags and warning signs. Learning disabilities could be lurking. Information for parents, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Thank you, Dr. Soifer, for being on with us tonight and for all your valuable information you're sharing.
Thank you so much for having me on, Muhammad, and giving me the opportunity to educate parents so I can help more children. I really appreciate it. And the work that MASC does is what I have been doing, and I'm pleased to be a part of your work. Thank you.
Thank you. You, and I do want to mention for professionals, go online to Nefesh International, and there will be a training November 15th. All the information is online, Nefesh International. Dr. Lydia Soifer, the following Sunday, will be doing a program for professionals as well. So this coming Sunday, on November the 8th, for parents, and the
following Sunday, November the 15th, 10 a.m. for professionals. I want to thank you, Dr. Lydia Stoiper, looking forward. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight. And if you want to make a donation to Mass, go on to massparents.org so we could continue to offer these programs for the cloud. Tonight's show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. Thank you, and have a good night.
Thanks for listening.
In Israel today, there's been a resumption of terror attacks and a resurgence of coronavirus that's killing hundreds. But Magen David Adom, Israel's emergency medical service, is saving lives. Join Jason Alexander, Howie Mandel, and others online Sunday, November 8th for an evening of entertainment to support Magen David Adom. Register at redstarforisrael.org.
And Jewish life is filled with special milestones. Birth, bar and bat mitzvah, marriage, grandchildren. And though we don't like to discuss it, there are special moments to be found as we approach life's final milestone. I'm Rabbi Charles Rudansky, speaking to you about MJHS Hospice. MJHS was founded in 1907 to care for the Jewish community, and we still do. Hospice isn't just about dying, it's also about living, being comfortable in your own home, sharing photos and memories with children and grandchildren, celebrating the joys of a Jewish life. MJHS Hospice understands Jewish values because we live them. Really, who else would hand deliver a challah before Shabbat? Whatever your degree of religious observance, visit mjhshospice.org and make the most of every minute. MJHS Hospice, caring every minute, every day.
If you have been suffering with fatigue, pain, gastrointestinal problems, anxiety, brain fog, weight gain, and have been to doctors who haven't found the answers, the Kelman Wellness Center can help. Best-selling medical author Dr. Raphael Kelman, a holistic medical doctor and internist, specializes in unexplained complex health issues. Dr. Kelman finds the root cause of your illness. Through advanced testing methods and a combination of traditional and holistic healing methods, he has helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call the Kelman Wellness Center at 833-MD-HELP-ME for more information about how Dr. Kelman can help you feel your best. That's 833-MD-HELP-ME. Learn more about the Kelman Wellness Center at kelmancenter.com. Call now for your free 10-minute consultation. That number again, 833-MD-HELP-ME. That's 833-MD-HELP-ME.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
Have you been worried that your child's college preparation is suffering due to the pandemic? Online learning can be especially difficult for students preparing for the SAT and ACT, as these tests present unique challenges. Luckily, Beyond the Test Tutoring and College Prep is here to help your child succeed. While many educators have struggled adapting to online learning, our educators have been tutoring online since 2013 and have mastered an effective and enriching program to help students succeed by teaching them the best strategies and tips for taking the test. Beyond the Test's approach is tried and true and has resulted in 100% five-star reviews for our program. Our incredible program is taught by the owners to provide your child the very best our company has to offer. We know these uncertain times have been difficult for everyone. However, Beyond the Test Tutoring and College Prep is fully prepared to help your child with any and all needs to make sure they do their very best on these exams. For personal services, please call 856-240-0728 or visit us online at beyondthetest.com.
Thank you for tuning in to
KZN Talk Line Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.